Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneckinize, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Truck show. Everybody knows it's coming around. I guess it's 2 weeks from yesterday will be the Saturday that it's going to be on, but it starts on March 24th. I'm looking at it right now, March 24th, 25th, 26th, and it's less than 2 weeks away. We're all getting ready for it here. In fact, we'll be having a special show next week from Ohio, where we'll be heading down to Louisville earlier that next week to get ready for the show, and then hopefully we'll have a great show. We'll do several live events coming for the show, doing things, getting some recordings, getting on YouTube, getting on Facebook, all kinds of stuff, letting everybody know what's going on there. Just to let everybody know though, that this probably will be our last show at the Mid-America Trucking Show in Louisville, Kentucky, because they don't want us in the parking lot, and we will not be in the parking lot. Like always, we've always been in the parking lot. We'll be there because we're truck drivers. So we have trucks, and we will show up there with our trucks, and we'll need a place to park, so we'll be parked in the parking lot. But we won't be doing anything. We won't have anything set up for as far as food or entertainment or anything. We've been told that there's going to be a free barbecue and hamburgers on Friday night, before or after the concert. I guess it's before the concert they'll have free, but it's a food truck. So a food truck's going to show up, give away free barbecue, and then of course the concert will start. And we're pretty certain that because all the people are working in unison together, that it's not going to be happening during the concert. They want everybody to attend the concert, and I think it's going to be a pretty good concert. You know what? No. That's Friday night. Friday night's a good concert. Clay Walker, you know, he's good. So that's be exciting. Other than that, I mean, I think there's supposed to be like some kind of tractor pull Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening. I'm not real sure. I'm not even sure if there's anything going on Thursday, to be certain. But they have something going on at the show. Not in the parking lot. Nothing really exciting going on in the parking lot. You know, we were always there. Everybody was excited to always see us, but they said no. So we offered. I mean, we're not saying that we're going to set up and do what we want to do and not be part of it. Like, we want to pay our fair share. We offered to pay. We offered to sponsor something. No, nothing. So we're not going to be there. We're not going to do that. We paid for a booth. And the reason we paid for a booth was hoping that we'd get in good with the people that run the show and say, hey, you know, we got a booth. We're participating. You know, let us help out more and be part of the parking lot. They said no. So we're going to fulfill our obligation because we had sponsors setting up for us at the show, doing things. And we're going to do that. And then after that, we're going to start looking at other venues to go and do other things with. We've already looked at other states that have other venues and everything. We've always talked about trying to do something on our own, that kind of thing. So, you know, you never know what happens with that. But we've got great sponsors. We got great followers. Really appreciate everybody listening along, following along, keeping up with us. And, of course, you know, sharing our content and also just being part of the great trucking community that we're all part of. That's pretty much all we're asking. You know, we're not really out there trying to become, you know, independently wealthy. It'd be great. Hey, it'd be awesome. I'd love to be able to get paid to do this instead of get paid to, you know, drive truck. Because, you know, every truck driver out there, they'll tell you, you know, would you rather do anything else? Of course. I'd much rather get paid good money to do something else. but this is what I'm good at. So this is what I do. But we got great sponsors. Sponsors been with us a while is DPF Regeneration. If you guys ain't heard of those guys, that's, you know, they clean the filters. You send them to you. You send them the filter. They clean it and then send it right back to you. And, of course, you know, you always talk about, well, I can get my filter cleaned over at the dealership, or I can get my filter, you know, when I go to the shop to get my truck worked on, I can get the DPF filter cleaned there. But think about it. Everything in that shop is dirty. You need a clean filter. So what you do is you call up these people, you send it to them because they have a lab, an actual lab that cleans filters, and they're not like dirty and you know, quality people that know how to work the equipment, know how to look at for problems, stuff like that. So, you know, that's what DPF Regeneration does. So you go ahead and check them out, DPFRegeneration.com, or call them at 800-634-3010. And then when you talk to them, let them know you appreciate them supporting Redneck and I, because we really do appreciate their support. And, of course, all the drivers that support them as well, fleet owners, shop owners, all the guys, they got the parts, and they know what they're doing. So we appreciate all their help. But, yeah, so we're excited. You know, they're going to be there supporting us, and we'll have people to talk to about that stuff too. And like I said, we'll be in the booth. We're going to have a booth in the show. 74108 is the booth number. It's going to be over there. We looked at the map earlier. We had a little meeting today, and we looked at the map earlier, and it's getting filled up pretty quick. One thing we do know is that a lot of the big names that you're probably looking forward to seeing are not going to be there. So some of the largest displays that are on the floor plan are all trailer manufacturers. You know, so this is turning into the Mid-America Trailer Show, because it's trailers. Mack Trailer. The dump trailers, I forgot the names of them, different dump trailers or dump truck manufacturers, stuff like that. So it's, you know, that's what it's about. That's the big names, the ones that are going to have all the big money there with the shined up equipment and everything. A lot of the vendors that are going to be there are just going to be companies that are, you know, I mean, that's the one thing that's good about it, is that you're going to see a lot of places where things you need, okay, things that you need to know about. And the West Wing is a lot of where we hang out over there. That's the stuff for drivers or owner operators. That's the equipment and the services and all the stuff you need, the different kind of systems you need to make your truck perform better, all that stuff. It's all over there in that West Wing. The other stuff is pretty much all for, like, you know, shops and dealerships and truck manufacturers and stuff like that. A couple of the names we looked at, we really couldn't tell what they were. They were really, really big booths, but we didn't understand what they were there for. We're suspecting they're some kind of OEM manufacturer that makes specific parts for, you know, the different trucks from the factory. Like, you know, they sell the camshafts or you know, just stuff like that. Brake drums, disc brakes, different stuff like that. Alliance Truck Parts is going to be there. And those, you know, they do a lot of, like, little giveaways and stuff like that, but it's not really for the independent driver or the single driver. These are for the shops or the dealerships, and talking about, you know, parts suppliers and stuff like that. They're, you know, so it's not really anything for the regular driver. And that's the disappointing thing about it. The cool part is you show up and you get to see a lot of cool stuff. So if you work on your own truck and you look at these brakes, and you can, you know, you might want to say, hey, let me ask you a question. And you might want to try to get technical with them. These are just the marketing people. They're not the engineers that build the parts. They're not there. Okay, the people that are there trying to get their marketing and salespeople, you know, so they can just give you the information that they had printed out there. That, you know, to get technical with them about specs and all that, you know, there might be one or two people there, but they're not there every day, and they're very few. So, just warn you about that stuff. The cool part is everybody loves to bring their kids. Well, guess what? There's going to be probably only one or two little booths that have actual trucks there that you can actually get up and climb into and look at. Peterbilt's not going to be there. Kenworth's not going to be there. Freightliner's not going to be there. Volvo, none of the big manufacturers are going to be there. Even like Dodge and Ford, they're not going to be there. There might be some local dealerships there, but they might not have as many trucks as we always used to see it. You know, years before, I mean, shoot, man, you'd had like trucks that were in movies show up there. You know, Walmart had a concept truck they brought to let everybody look at, where it was all electric and a big dome cab and all that. You know, that's not going to be there. not gonna. That's none of that's gonna be there this year. So there's not any kind of big surprise. The funny thing is the biggest booth that I see on there, the biggest one, is the C.H. Robinson is going to have like one whole corner to itself. And I'd like to go over there and ask them about all their stuff. You know, what's your policy on the way you mark up rates or talk to your brokers or talk to your agents or whatever? How do you handle all that stuff? I'd like to know that because you know what it's all going to? It's going to everything online, where you can go download the Uber Freight app. Uber Freight's going to be there. You download J.B. Hunt 360, or you download Schneider's app, or you download C.H. Robinson app, and you book all your freight online. All well and good, but we all still know how do you work those rates, you know? All the drivers, I tell you right now, that are out there making good rates, they're not using those apps. That's not where you get good rates. They'll tell you that right now. The rates come from the customers. That's where you get good rates. They come from the shippers. They don't come from agents. If you got agents or brokers giving you a good rate, you know, that's a once in a lifetime opportunity right there to make good money off of a broker. It's very rare, very rare. Okay, so just know that. Anybody out there, you know, I don't have much experience with it myself. I just go off of what I hear, and all the owner operators out there that, you know, most of them have their own authority. But they're the ones that tell you they get the better rates when they go right to the customer. That's the best place to get the rate is go right to the customer, right to the shipper. You know, the brokers and the agents and all those different C.H. Robinson, Uber Freight, JB360, all those. That's not where the good rates are at. You know, a lot of the new owner operators, they get their foot in the door by downloading those apps and using those apps. A lot of drivers say they're perfectly happy with the rates they get from there. But, you know, that's not where the good rates are at. So all that's fine and dandy. But like I said, this might be, unless things severely change, this will probably be our last show. And I just want to know, we've been hearing on the internet, you know, is this going to be your last show? You know, are you go there to meet up with your friends, with the fellow truck drivers to hang out? And what we were talking about is I think we had more fun at the convoy than we probably ever had at the truck show. So. We probably need to set up a thing where we do a convoy once a year and everybody just kind of meet up in Indianapolis, meet up in Ohio, meet up in Hagerstown. Let's have our own truck show. You know, that seemed to be what I was following online and what I witnessed out in Ohio a couple weeks ago. That seemed to be pretty awesome. And that's the best way to meet fellow truck drivers. So what do you think about that? And give me a holler about that. I really appreciate everybody letting me know how things are going on and how you plan on, you know, getting things going or whatever you need to do and things like that. So yeah, this is what we do. This is Redneck and Eyes Radio, all things trucking and then some. So you can get with us, call in 516-387-1733 to be a part of the conversation. Just hit one. And remember to thank our great sponsors, and that's DPF Regeneration, dpfregeneration.com. Don't forget to check those guys out. We appreciate their support. So we're going to take a little break. We'll be back in a second. This is Redneck and Eyes Radio.
There's a speed zone ahead, but all right. I don't see a cop inside. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight. I got 10 Ford gears and a Georgie overdrive. I'm passing little white lines and my eyes are roving wide. Just passed a Jimmy in a white. I've been passing everything in sight. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight. Well, it seems like a month since I kissed my baby goodbye. I could have a lot of willing, but I'm not like some other guy. I could find one to hold me tight, but I can never make believe it's right. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight. Well, the ICC is checking on down the line. I'm a little overweight and my log is way behind. But nothing bothers me tonight. I can dodge on the scales all right. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight. My rig's a little old, but that don't mean she's slow. There's a flame from her stack and the smoke's pulling back as cold. My hometown's coming in sight. If you think I'm happy, all right. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight. 6 days.
This week's episode is sponsored by LTR Transportation. Come be part of a great carrier celebrating a new year with new trucks and new growth. Check them out at ltrtransportation.com or give them a call at 720-277-0030. Thank you, LTR, for being supporter of Redneckinize. Redneckinize, common sense solutions for an uncommon world.
Hey, pretty baby, are you ready for me? Yeah, it's good rockin' daddy down from Tennessee. I'm just out off about San Antonio with the radio blasting and the bird dog call.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Dave with Redneckinize Radio. We're here live every Sunday evening at 7 o'clock Eastern Time. You can call in at 516-387-1733. Be part of the conversation. Just hit 1, and we're talking about all things trucking and then some. We're just trying to kicking back here, getting ready for the truck show. Like I said, we're going to be at the booth 74108. That's over in the West Wing Pavilion out by the food court. So what we found out, what I know for sure, is that Thursday at 10 a.m., We'll be there. Everything opens up at 10 a.m. You can't get into the regular show until like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. But at 10 a.m., you can get into the lobby areas, which is there's the North Wing lobby, which is the big area there. You know how that's, I think, OIDA is always there. Tucker Tax Tools always has a great booth up front up there. That's kind of where you sign up and get your passes if you haven't already or if you needed to get tickets and everything. But over on the West Wing Pavilion, that's where you get dropped off. If you're staying at the free parking lot, you get dropped off over there and that on that side, and that's where there's another food court, and then there's an area right there that's open, and that's like the registration point. And if you don't have tickets and you need tickets, you can go there and get tickets. Come by, see us before you do anything, because we'll have tickets, and then you can register, and then you just go get in line, type everything in, and you'll be good to go. But you need an actual ticket in your hand that has, on the back of that ticket, has where you fill out all your name, address, and everything. That's pretty much all they want. And that's kind of how things are going with the truck show. If you've never been to a truck show, you know, whenever you get passes, they want your name, address, telephone number, email address. You know, they want to know your owner-operator or your company driver, how many trucks do you own, what do you drive, van, flatbed, whatever. And what they do is they sell that information. We've been getting bombarded. Ever since we paid for the booth, so we signed up to get a booth, we've been bombarded with people trying to call us or contact us saying, we have a list of all the attendees. You can get a list of all the attendees, just, you know, pay us money. And we're like, why do I need that? I'm not trying to sell anybody anything. I'm on the internet already. You know, if people don't want to know me, they're not going to know me by now because I'm everywhere. So, you know, and Redneckinize is all over the place. We got our own website, redneckinize.com. There you go. Boom. Right. But that's what they were doing over there. So you go there, you sign up. And then if you didn't sign up online already, you got to buy a ticket. Well, there's places to get free tickets. You just need to look a little bit. And some of the truck stops have free tickets. Well, you come by and see us at our booth. We've got tickets. So don't do anything before you come see us first. And that's good advice. Well, one of the bit of the news I wanted to lay into everybody right now is something's going on out there out west. CDLLife.com put a story about 2 or 3 days ago. Looks like it was on, it was on Friday, right? Yeah, Friday. Posted on Friday. It says, missing teen found in semi-truck after meeting trucker on Oculus virtual reality platform. So I had to do a little reading and research on this. So there's this, I'm assuming there's this, Oculus is that VR deal, like the glasses, and it's owned by Facebook. And of course they got games and I guess, you know, social media or whatever on the virtual reality. And so this truck driver was talking to this teen girl, and it's really disturbing to me. And I want to get everybody filled in on this because, you know, we've got a system out there. It's called Truckers Against Trafficking. And this is the kind of stuff we're trying to fight against right here. So I'll read you the story. It goes, a missing teenage girl has been found riding around in a semi-truck after meeting the driver on a virtual reality platform. 13-year-old Riley Sechrist was found in Cheyenne, Wyoming at 3:39 p.m. on Thursday, March 10th, after going missing from Roosevelt City, Utah on Tuesday, March 8th. Her community held a vigil for her on Wednesday. According to the Channel 2 News, the girl was last seen between 5 and 5:30 a.m. on Tuesday after leaving the home on her own. Investigators say that she had been communicating with a 25-year-old truck driver, Chris Evans, from Florida via Oculus Metas, formerly known as Facebook, virtual reality platform, prior to her departure. She had received an Oculus message reading, "I'm here," just before leaving her home. They believe Sechrist had been communicating with Evans for about a month prior to her departure. Investigators were able to identify and track Evans using cell phone data and information from messaging apps. After officers located the truck, Sechrist was found inside and in good health. Evans is now facing charges of kidnapping and harboring and a runaway. This is the first recorded case of its kind involving the Oculus system. And that right there. So, and like, this is the kind of crap right here that pisses me off about the trucking industry, because I was just thinking to myself, you know, when you talk to like higher ups in the government or law enforcement or even in the trucking industry, you know, we have so many platforms out there that are just trying to praise, "Oh, we love you, truckers. We love you." Yeah, I love you. I'm one of you. Okay. But the best part about the trucking industry is it's kind of like, you know, it is what it is. Live and let live kind of attitude that we all have in the trucking industry. But the worst thing about the trucking industry is this, it is what it is, live and let live kind of attitude in the trucking industry. Because idiots like that guy right there are allowed to just mix in with all of us loners. You know, we're all out there loners. We're all out there in the truck by ourselves. And the internet has, you know, allowed a lot of good drivers, myself, other friends of mine, to stay in contact with family and friends, but it's also allowed guys like this to just, you know, run rampant on the internet and not even have to be in the same area. I mean, you know, pisses me off, man. I can't stand it. I can't stand it. But anyway, so she was found in good condition. So that's great. And we're excited about that. I don't see, I hope the guy gets a chair. That's all I can tell you. I don't even care if he did anything. I don't even care if his intentions were good or whatever. I don't care. Okay. It's just, you know, just gets my blood boiling when I see crap like that. But that was on, like I said, that was on Thursday that she was found and safe. So I'm thinking Roosevelt City, Utah. I don't know exactly where that's at, but Utah to Cheyenne, that's at least a good day's ride, maybe a day and a half, depending on how fast your truck goes and the weather. But ain't no telling, you know. I mean, if he was good enough to cover his tracks, she could have been gone. You know, I mean, that's the Truckers Against Trafficking. We see it all the time, and that gets reported. Truckers Against Trafficking, hopefully they'll be at the show. And if they are, we'll go talk to them too, because they've got a good setup, and they've got a good foundation over there. But Walmart supports them, so you know it's a big. They've got actual legislation and task force that, you know, they communicate with to help runaways or kidnapped victims, or, you know, and it's crossing the border with foreign countries and stuff like that. So yeah, and the trucking industry, it's in it. It's deep in it, and we got to stop that crap. We got to stop it. You know, that, like I said, the best thing about trucking is that you can be out here and be your own boss and kind of get lost and, you know, be on your own. The worst thing about trucking is anybody can come out here and get lost and be on their own and nobody's going to bother them. and that's a bad deal, you know. So as truck drivers like us, we're the ones that have to like speak up and say something when we see something, you know. We see it all the time where a kid will get out of the truck with their dad or mom, you know, families traveling together, whatever. And maybe you just need to strike up a conversation. Like, hey, how's everything going? How you guys doing? How you like traveling? You know, what's going on? You know, just be curious. And, you know, you might pick up on something. And it might not be exactly what you think it is. So that's all I got to say about that is just, you know, get involved with it there and say, oh, well, you know, I hope that's legit. Things like that, you know. Not too long ago, we were doing the show here, and we said a guy, he was in his 40s, and she was 17, and he picked her up. And then the only reason why that, and it wasn't like anybody was looking for her. They said she was missing, but nobody was really looking where she was at. She was from North Carolina. She ended up being in Kentucky. And the guy, you know, they got into an argument, and she come running out of the truck screaming and hollering. The only reason why they caught him. So, you know, that kind of thing. So, yeah, just it's one of those things. But yeah, that's at the trucking industry. We've got to crack down on that stuff. And we got to do better to just kind of stay vigilant and see what the, like I said, you know, you see it. You don't necessarily have to call the cops and assume the worst. Just maybe strike up a conversation, and you know, maybe something don't sit well with you. Then you can say something, you know. But you never know. So I always try to help people out like that when you can. But yeah, this is what we're all about here, Redneck and I's Radio, is just, you know, talking about the news and talking about trucking, life in trucking, and what's going on in the industry and how we can make it better. And that's it. That's what we do at the. Like I said, we've just been trying to get ready for the truck show, and this might be our last show. If anything doesn't change, it'll probably be our last show. So we're going to go out with a bang. We're not doing anything in the parking lot because they don't want us there. We'll be at the show. We'll be in a booth, 74108 over in the West Wing Pavilion. You come by and check that out. That's going to be awesome. And like I said, we'll be putting live events, posts, pictures, videos, stuff like that during the show. But we hope to see everybody there. If you haven't already registered anything and you're thinking about needing a ticket or whatever, come check us out first. Come by our booth first before you go pay for a ticket. We'll be checking that stuff out on that. But other than that, we just want to send out a word of our great sponsors, and that's LTR Transportation, Load to Ride Transportation. That's loadtoridetransportation.com. That's a great little trekking outfit out of Denver, Colorado. One of their drivers has been with us with Redneck and I for a while, like 3 years, and she came to us and said, "Hey, I want to help. I want to do more. I want to help you guys out, and I want to get my company involved." So she did. And it was a great thing because LTR has been a great supporter of ours. They're going to be there at the show. They're going to have representatives there. They're going to have trucks and trailers there to you can see, you know, how they do things, and check them out. They're, like I said, based out of Denver, Colorado. And they've got all the stuff where they do all the time sensitive stuff. They do the temperature control stuff. They do expedited, hazmat, all that stuff. So, you know, you're looking for a good company to run over the road with, you know, you might want to check them out. You can go check them out at ltrtransportation.com or give them a call at 720-277-0030. And then, like I said, when you talk to them, tell them you appreciate them supporting Redneck and I's, because we really do appreciate them. So this is it. This is Redneck and I's Radio. Hang tight. We'll be right back.
We'd like to thank one of our supporters, DPF Regeneration. The folks at DPF Regeneration have always looked out for truckers. Today's technology in big trucks has gotten more and more complicated, especially when it comes to those particulate filters. DPF filters need to be serviced, cleaned, and sometimes replaced, and DPF Regeneration handles it all. They have the knowledge, the network, and the inventory to get what truckers need to stay out on the road making money. Give them a holler at 800-634-3010 or check them out at www.webakem.com. Plain and simple, DPS Regeneration.
Hey, this is it with Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're live here every Sunday evening, 7 o'clock Eastern Time. You can call in at 516-387-1733. Be a part of the conversation, just hit 1. So we're just kicking back here, getting ready for the truck show and then getting, you know, getting caught up on the latest news and everything. I tell you what, the Ukraine war has been dominating the CNN, Fox News coverage, but they're still out there for the trucker protest, I think. If anybody else has got any other information on that, they've been keep going around in the circles, and then I think they're heading, you know what, let me pull that up real quick, actually, while we're thinking about it. If you guys don't know already, you can go to the peoplesconvoy.org to get a hold of everybody over there and find out what's going on, and they can go to convoy status updates, all that. You can do a lot of live streaming. I know that Trucker G does live streaming and all that. And they're pretty much just hanging out in at Hagerstown Speedway in Hagerstown, Maryland. If you go there, you can see they've got an address over there. It says they've got a meeting scheduled for, looks like this is the last time was on today at 1 p.m. was the last update. They have some kind of like a safety briefing or whatever like that and everything. And it says no convoy on Sunday, March 18th. We're at the Hagerstown Speedway. The convoy route from the Hagerstown Speedway will be Route 40 to Route 63, I-70, 270, 495, la-di-da, and it goes all the way and it says back to the Hagerstown Speedway. Please note that all stated times are an estimate, not exact, due to the nature of the convoy. I think it's funny. Because, yeah, convoys don't exactly move in a timely manner because it's a convoy. But there's a lot of stuff going on there. It made one of the big times, one of the big things that it made was Ted Cruz, the Texas senator. Now, I'm from Texas, and I'm I'm kind of familiar with how Ted Cruz operates and all that. His aspirations is to be president. Let's just face facts here, okay? He does not want to be senator the rest of his life. He wants to be president. And so he's going to get involved in this kind of stuff if he can. You saw how he went after Trump pretty hard. Him and Trump did not get along very well. And he was one of the last ones to stick it out against Trump back in 2016 during the primary. And, of course, when that was over, he got behind Trump. And he's always been, you know, because he's pretty much like a laid-back version of Trump. And let's just face it. Come on. He doesn't exactly say all the things exactly, but he says them, you know. He doesn't say exactly what Trump says, but he says it, you know, roundabout. But he is a politician. Let's not try to put lipstick on a pig. He is a politician. So he's going to take advantage of things like this. Now, he's got a lot of great ideas, but they're not going to always mesh well. You know, it's one of those things where he pushes a little hard because he knows that he's going to have to give a little. And when he gives, at least he gets something. And I don't know. Sometimes I think that what he's willing to give is not worth giving. You know, it's like keep fighting. Because we all know the other side, the Democrats, liberals, hard leftists, the hard leftists, the squad people, they don't sacrifice. They don't give up anything. They don't compromise at all. You know, they'll just go full at it. And if you don't get along with them, they'll burn the whole thing down. They don't care. So that's kind of what we all liked about Trump, is that he was willing to burn everything down. He didn't care because the other side was willing to burn everything down. And I think that's what happened when you had, you know, January 6th, call it what you will, if it was a bad thing or a good thing, it was people basically, whether they were on the wrong side or the right side, they were just fed up and they were willing to just burn the whole thing down because they're not going to give up what the other side was telling them they needed to give up. And that's just basically what it is. The convoy here is basically, you know, it's a mandate kind of thing. They don't want the vaccine mandates. They don't want the mask mandates, stuff like that. And I think it's probably a year too late. You know, we know Canada went off because Canada was actually getting worse. You know, they were keep going. They were hard doing it. At least down here, we had a lot of states saying, no, we're done with this. We're done with it. Canada wasn't. So they went hard and we're like, hey, we can't let Canada outdo us. So, you know, we started our own thing. And to me, what it should represent is just over the last half century, everything's just gone crazy with just rules and regulations on everything. You know, everything. And, you know, it's kind of like when I became 18 and had the right to vote and I started looking at laws, I'm like, well, why is that a law? Why are you doing that? Why are you? And it's kind of like what we did was we elected politicians, you know, and this is back in the 70s and 80s. The politicians created a government agency and the government agency created the rule. I mean, we didn't have a CDL system until the 70s. And then it wasn't fully implemented until the 80s, you know. And it was, they said it was good. It turned out to be pretty bad because now they'll do anything to take that CDL away from you. You know, it doesn't even matter. You don't even have to do anything really bad, you know. Just don't, you know, gain too much weight. They'll take your CDL away, you know. And look who sets the standards. You know, look at all that stuff. You know, I was probably a victim of that when that came around because, you know, I was pretty healthy for a big guy. I was always, I've always been a bigger person. And when it got to the point where they were like, you know, well, it's just, you're a big guy. So you're going to have to do a sleep study, but I don't have any of the symptoms. Yeah, but you're just big. So you need to do the sleep study, but that's okay. We'll pay for it. And I was like, well, that's not the point. The point is that I'm not showing any symptoms, but they did it anyway. And then they said, you know what? You need the machine. And I'm like, I don't think I do. No, like, yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. But it's okay. You're going to sleep better. You know, that you wear this and you'll sleep better. That's okay. By that logic, everybody should have a machine. Why not just give a machine to every person that's sleeping? You know, so why are you trying to give me a machine? And I did. I wore that machine. I did not sleep better. I put that machine on. They told me I had to wear it at least 4 hours a day. And so I put it on, dozed off a little bit. I woke up, said it knows when you're wearing it and not wearing it. So I looked up and it said, I've been wearing it for 3 hours and 40 minutes. I said, crap. So I had to go, I laid there for 15 minutes and it said, you didn't wear it for 15 minutes because they know when it knows when you're asleep. So I wore it a little bit longer. I woke back up a little bit and it said, okay, now you've had it for 4 hours and 20 minutes. I took the sucker off. I slept like a baby. It was awesome. And then I finally got to the point where I had lost enough weight and gained enough. I just became physically fit enough for them to say, okay, you don't need it no more. And that's great. Hey, that's fine. Hey, more healthy because of it and all that. But, I wasn't showing any symptoms. So, it was one of those things where they did it. They wanted you to do that. But then I'm out there struggling to sleep because I got a machine stuck to my face at night. And I see all these other people that can't even get up and out of the truck. They're needing extra stool to be able to climb into the truck or a ladder. I said, well, how are they able to drive? But here I am fighting to sleep because they've put me on a machine. How is that? I don't understand. So that kind of stuff, that gets me ticked off about how the government operates and how they let the system operate and how they let the companies or the different organizations dictate the rules and everything. I mean, look at OIDA. Look how long OIDA has been in business. And to me, in my opinion, ever since I've been driving, which has been like in the 90s, ever since I've heard of OIDA, the rules have gotten stricter and stricter. It's been harder and harder to be a truck driver, especially be an owner operator or an independent. It's getting harder and harder. And that's only been in the last 25, 30 years. But I think OIDA has made it worse. They just flat out made it worse. So I'm sure I got a lot of people agreeing with me on that. But yeah, it's one of those things. We just got to get through it and do our best. And like I said, the People's Convoy has been a great success as far as getting donations together about everything. And I think, I met one of the organizers. He wasn't a truck driver. He was like one of the financiers. And what he got upset about was that when they announce where they're stopping for the night, there's these trucks and trailers that are hauling like flags and T-shirts and stuff. And they're really just all it is FBJ or Let's Go Brandon or Trump flags or whatever, which is great because people love that stuff. I've got a couple of those things and all that. But he didn't really think it was a, Trump against Biden thing. He thought the People's Convoy was more, we're standing up for our freedoms. We're not standing up to the Democrats or standing up for Republicans, standing up for freedom. We're standing up against tyranny, up against mandates, against, martial law is what we're standing up against. And that's what he said. And I agree with him on that. Is that I don't care who's in the office. Okay. I was pissed back in 2020 when Trump and my governor Abbott here in Texas was saying, hey, you know what? Let's flatten the curve. Everybody stay home. That pissed me off. I thought these guys were for freedom. So, when they were going around saying, let's require a mask. Next thing you know, the grocery stores requiring everybody to wear a mask and all that. And you had people were coming out saying, you know what? I don't think these masks are working. I think this is an airborne virus and masks ain't stopping it. And they were like, no, can't. No, masks are working. They work and all that. And that was in the spring and summer of 2020. I was pissed then, and we were upset because our truck shows got canceled. So, it was a bad deal. I think we should have probably been standing up then. I guarantee you that never happened again. Never, ever again. Ever. Can I say that again? Ever. Is that, that'll ever happen. If somebody at all, it can be 20 years from now. If somebody says, what we ought to do is we ought to just go ahead and close down all the bars and everybody stay home for about 2 weeks. Yeah. That ain't never going to happen again. Never. As long as anybody that's breathing right now is still alive. It's just like when Thanos stamped his fingers. The only people that were fighting to bring everybody back were the people that were still around. Then he learned his lesson. He's like, you know what I'll do this time is when I snap my fingers, everybody's gone, and then I'll just rebuild from that. You know, so that's the only way you're going to get through is if people don't remember, because we will remember. We will remember. But yeah, that's it. That's what I'm just saying. Always remember. Never forget. What did Dan Crenshaw always say? Never forget. We don't forget the men and women who died in battle. Well, we'll never forget the politicians that stood up against freedom and stood for tyranny. We'll never forget those. Always remember who those people were. You know, I didn't vote for Abbott to get back in the deal. And now he's up there. And I'm kind of hoping he loses to wake all these other idiots up. Because people got to know. We got to start. Me and Greg, he'll be on here in a second. We've got to start standing up for the people, which is against the politicians. I don't care who they are. I don't care who they are. You know, the problem with Fox News is they don't get mad at Republicans. That's the problem with Fox News. The problem with MSNBC and CNN, they don't get mad at Democrats. You know, they're all crooked. They're all crazy. They're all weak. That's, you know, and that's what it's all about to me. It's got, you know, you need to grab the Republicans by the throat and say, stop being a stupid idiot, you know, because we see it all the time. The only time that politicians care about fair elections is when they lose. You know, the only time they care about people's freedom is when they lose elections. When they win elections, oh, man, they're all for let's lock everything down and let's, you know, kick everybody out. And, you know, when they win, after they win, they do whatever they want. And they say, well, you know, it's for the better. It's for the best. For the best. No, it ain't. Personal liberty, individual freedom, that is the best. So we're going to keep talking about this, but I'm going to reset my timer here. And where am I at? There we are. There we go. So yeah, I'm going to reset the timer here, and we're going to thank one of our great sponsors, and that's Trucker Tools, the Trucker Tools app. You can check them out, truckertools.com, or you can go to your app store on your phone, download their app, check them out. They do where they keep track of all the, you know, truck stops, fuel stops. You can book freight and track freight, all that stuff like that. It's all kind of all in one thing. And they've just been a great supporter here in the last couple of years, ever since 2020, of Redneckanize. So we appreciate their help. But you can check them out, truckertools.com. You can also go to our website, redneckanize.com, and all the links to our sponsors are on there. And then you can see the links to our YouTube channel, Facebook page, all that stuff. YouTube's been a great success. We're really excited about getting that going, so keep track on that. Please go subscribe if you haven't already. And like I said, this is Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're going to keep at it, 516-387-1733.
South of Detroit City, pulled in this country kitchen. Try their brand of barbecue, signs it finger licking. I paid the tab and the lady asked me how'd I like my biscuit. I'll be honest with you, ma'am, it ain't like mama fixed it. Cause where I come from, it's cornbread and chicken. Where I come from, a lot of front porch pickings. Where I come from, trying to make a living and working hard to get to heaven. Where I come from.
We'd like to send a shout out to all these great supporters. They hung in there with us through the beginning, and we couldn't have done it without them. GTS Enterprises, North Liverpool, Ohio. RM Transport of Chandler, out of Chandler, Arizona. CK Hunter Transportation, out of Virginia Beach, Virginia. Peter Ramsey Trucking, out of Mountain Grove, Missouri. Dixon Transportation, out of Sarcoxie, Missouri. Lifetime Nut Covers, out of Crystal Lake, Iowa. Iowa 80 Truck Stop, out of Walcott, Iowa. SoCal Flashlights, out of Los Angeles, California. My Right Load at www.rightload.com and DPF Regeneration at www.webakem.com. Thank all of you for your support and generosity to Redneckanize.
Heading home on 65 somewhere around Kentucky. And the CB rang, the bobtail rig, it's rolling on like thunder.
I answered him and he asked me, aren't you from out in Tulsa? No, but you might have seen me there. Just dropped a load of salsa.
Where I come from, it's cornbread and chicken. Where I come from, a lot of fun for picking. Where I come from, trying to make a living and working hard to get to heaven. Where I come from, yes, cornbread and chicken. Where I come from, a lot of back porch picking. Where I come from, trying to make a living and working hard to get to heaven. Where I come from.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Edward Nickanized Radio. We're here live every Sunday evening, 7 o'clock Eastern Time. You can call in at 516-387-1733. Be part of the conversation. Just hit 1. And don't forget to go check out our website, redneckandeyes.com. And please subscribe to our YouTube channel. We appreciate everybody doing that. It's been a great success. And we really do appreciate everybody's help on that. So we just been talking here, getting ready for the truck show. We'll be at booth 74108 in the West Wing Pavilion over by the food court. So come check us out. Before you get to the, if you haven't registered for the show and you need tickets, before you go pay for a ticket, come see us first. Okay? And we'll try to, we're going to try to have as many extra tickets as we can, but it, you know, we can run out fast, so you never know. So so check that out. So so we're just talking about the People's Convoy and what they're doing, and we're going to bring on, there we go. Who's that there?
Hey, how you doing, Brian?
Hey, what's going on? Yeah, we were just, last segment here, I was just talking about how the People's Convoy, you know, they actually talked to, I don't know if you saw it on there, Brian put on his Facebook page where he was actually in the truck with Ted Cruz in Mike Landis's truck pulling the flag and everything. And what I was just thinking about is how we got to start holding the Republicans accountable, just like we're trying to, you know, I mean, Democrats, they don't do anything we want, and the only people that aren't doing exactly what we want is the Republicans. We got to start holding them accountable too.
I don't care who you are, Democrat, Republican, conservative. I don't care. I don't care who you are. Do your job.
There you go.
There, just like Brazzi and them has all been preaching to them. They work for us. We don't work for them.
That's right.
And it's time. It's way past time that they realize that. But what really pisses me off is you go on Facebook and you see these liberal bastards on there that's sitting there hollering, preaching, well, what are you guys talking about? They're taking our freedoms away. I ain't lost no freedoms. What rights are we losing? I ain't lost them. We ain't lost no rights. What are you talking about? What are you living under a rock?
No kidding.
You know, I mean, you got to be totally out of your damn mind if you can't see. If you think that your life is better now than it was 2 years ago or 5 years ago or 10 years ago, let's go. Let's keep going back.
Yeah.
Every year your life gets worse. You might not realize it. You might not think that because you've just come accustomed over time to just changing with the times, and you won't realize it or they won't realize it until it's too late. And by the time they realize, hey, you know, they was right. You know, we are giving up a lot. Well, guess what? Now it's too damn late, because once they get it, you'll never get it back.
Just like what Glenn Beck said back when Obama first got elected, you know, you put a frog inside a pot of water and you slowly turn the heat up, that frog will just stay in there and cook itself to death because it won't realize that the water's getting hotter and hotter. But if you boil the water and then throw the frog in, the frog will jump out because it knows water's hot. So it's one of those things where over the years, these politicians, they just turn in the heat up. They've been turning that heat up, and we just don't realize it. And that's exactly what's happening. Yep. And, I mean, even now, you know, even when Trump is in, you know, and everything. And then it's not only the freedom, but the value of your work now, okay? The money you get paid, it's getting worthless, more and more worthless each year, you know, and they say, oh, that's just normal. It's not normal. Okay, you shouldn't have to make, you know, nowadays you make 100 grand, you're middle class, lower middle class. You're not, you know, 100 grand ain't a lot of money anymore.
No, you know?
And then, you know, the houses keep going up, you know, prices of everything goes up. you know, when you say, oh, I make more money now than I did 10 years ago, but everything else is more expensive. So by these politicians, and so, you know, I've been reading up on it and trying to learn more. And basically what it is every time the government has to print money to spend it, that creates, that makes the dollar less valuable. So the more and more money they spend, when Trump spent, when Bush spent, when Obama spent, and when now that Biden's spending, every time they spend more money than they have, the value of the dollar goes down. It's just,
exactly.
It's just, that's what, and so the value of the dollar keeps going down every time they have a government program that they want to spend money to. And let's just face it, let's be honest, don't tell me these programs are doing better than what other people could be doing in the private sector. These government programs are just feeding these bureaucrats. You know, they make money, you know, even if it's a government loan. They take the loan out, then they say, well, I can't pay it back. Well, that's okay. You know, so yeah, just stop it. Stop it, man. Stop it.
Yeah, you know, and politicians, it's crazy. You know, when they went into that, you know, they got more money than God. Now, they didn't get that money by working, you know, a normal job.
Oh, yeah.
And every time they want money, they just take it. You know, it's just, well, we need a raise. We'll just take it. People better look at how much time they actually spend working a year and how much time they're off. Not very much.
Right.
Yeah, they spend more time off a year than what they do working, but look at what kind of money they make.
Well, and that's the thing is, like you're saying, they keep giving themselves a raise.
People need to go back and look. And...
Yeah.
Go ahead, Ed.
No, I was going to say, not only that, I mean, you see these government programs that pay off, like, the family members. Like, even the government, like we always talked about how, you know, oh, you know, Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden, was getting paid by the Russian oligarchs or the Ukrainian mining company or whatever like that. That's small potatoes compared to all the other politicians out there getting paid legally by the U.S. government. Because they just pencil whip some little program in there, and guess who gets hired? You know, I mean, it even goes back to the day. You know, I was looking at some. It was years ago. I was watching this thing on PBS where they were trying to build the Intercoastal Highway, where you know where they trench out the little river that flows up and down the East Coast, and they can get barges to and from the cities better. And this was, you know, right after the Revolutionary War, they were started doing this where they can get stuff to, you know, Baltimore or Philadelphia easier rather than going out in the ocean and going around the bays and all that. And the company that got hired, you know who got hired to dredge that out was a company owned by George Washington. So it was like even then, you know, even then they were like, you know, paying themselves off, you know, and all that. So it's like. It's like crazy. That's, you know, that's what that's happened. You get in the government so that you can get paid off. That's the reason why you get in the government, you know. And I feel sorry for all of the other people. I know people I went to school with. They work in downtown Austin. They work for these government agencies where they try to help people. And I feel bad for them because it's like, you know, all the people that you work for, they're all crooks, you know. So I mean, I feel bad for you, but that's legit. So. You know, so yeah.
Yeah, a lot of it. It's sad. It's sad. You go back. Yep. You go back and look. Go back in the late 70s, early 80s. Go back and just look at what the minimum wage was back then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. What was that? Two something an hour. Go back and look even farther. Keep going back in history at what you know. What our parents and our grandparents, look what they worked for an hour or a week, you know. I mean, my God, it's crazy. And now these you know, they, well, I ain't going to work for $15 an hour. I ain't going to work for that. Well, no, you can't afford to work for $15 an hour. Why? Why can't you afford to work for $15 an hour? Because you have put up with this nonsense so long and let the government get out of control so long and tax the hell out of you for so long that, yeah, $15 an hour ain't nothing. It's nothing. That is. That's chicken shit money now. I mean, it's you know, it's crazy. You know, it's crazy where the country went. I mean, I can remember back, you know, back in the in the late 70s, early 80s, I was still in school, but I was working at a damn grocery store pushing carts and, you know, doing, I was working in the morning before I went to school. Then I go to school and then I come home after school. I get out early for work and I'd work until, I don't know, 6-7 o'clock at night, 8 o'clock at night or whatever. And then I go home, do my homework, whatever I had to do, go to take a shower, go to bed. It was back at it the next morning. I was pushing shopping carts for like $2.35 or something like that an hour. I forget what it was back then. It wasn't very damn much. Man, at that grocery store pushing carts. So I didn't have that motorized cart to help me push them. Hell no. I went out. That was up around Cleveland. I was out there pushing. You know, you get 15, 20 shopping carts. Everybody said, what the hell you mean? You said 15 or 20. That ain't that much. Yeah, you push that shit through 4 or 5 inches of snow and ice out there in the parking lot. Tell me how you feel then.
Yeah. Yeah, and then okay. Your dad used to do that uphill both ways.
Yeah. No. I remember my dad, man. I remember my dad when I was younger. You know, these assholes want to complain and bitch and bellyache. I remember him coming home, man, never said a word about going to work. He was working for the state.
Yeah.
The state of West Virginia, man. He was working for the state. And I've seen him go to work, stand on the back of a dump truck full of salt, him and another guy and one driving, stand up there with a shovel, and they'd be running down the road, you know, like 10-15 mile an hour, and them sitting there slinging salt as fast as they could shovel that stuff and throwing it out on the road. That was their salt spreaders back then. They didn't have salt spreaders on the back of these dump trucks. Their salt spreaders were two guys in the back with shovels. He never said a word, though, because he had to do what he had to do to raise us kids and to provide for the family. So when these assholes go out there and start talking about, well, I wouldn't work like that, and I wouldn't do this, and I wouldn't do that, yeah, you know what? Yeah, you're right. You know, you candy ass, because you'd never survive.
Yeah. Well, I got an uncle. He passed away recently. He's 84 years old. He drove truck. He started driving truck when he was 14, and he drove up until he was 84. And he would tell me when he first started driving there in the late 40s, early 50s, not only did he not have an air conditioner, but he had no air suspension. So he's going down the highway on long trips. This is from like South Carolina up to Chicago. And I mean, you're talking about no AC. You know, you're lucky if the heat worked, maybe. But the heat was dependent on the engine a lot. Like the water, you know, it was the coolant thing. You know how that all that works like that. And but you know, nowadays it the system is more electronic and all that or whatever, but it still relies off the heat. But back then it was just you were hoping that the blower worked right, you know, that it would blow some heat towards you if it got cold out. But air ride, no, you know, he had regular solid springs. I think the trailers were even on solid axles where they had no suspension on them at all.
Yeah.
so yeah, you know, you're talking about complaining, you know. He said, that's what you did. You got it done.
I tell you what, one of the first trucks I drove was an old 78 International Transtar. It hasn't been that many years ago that was a reality, Ed.
Yeah,
because when I started out in an old Mac, you know. But then, man, I got that old 78 International, man. I thought I was driving a Cadillac, an old 78 International 4070 cab over. No air conditioning. No engine brake, had a 220 Cummins in it with a 9-speed transmission, no, had spring ride suspension, it had the old spoke wheels on it, you know, the Dayton wheels, you know, tube type tires, yeah, the old split rims, you know, the tube type tires, old flatbed was spring ride, it was spring ride tandem. Side kit, oh yeah, man. When we got the covered wagons and the side kits, boy, we thought we was king shit on Turtle Island, buddy. We got a side kit, yeah, 3/4-inch plywood with steel stakes.
Yeah, yeah.
The stakes in the side of the stake pockets was steel. They wasn't aluminum; they was steel. They was heavy, and then 2x4s in the center of each one of them panels to hold it in. So because we was hauling a lot of aluminum scrap, and don't tell me about that shit. No air condition. And
right.
In the wintertime, if you had heat, which was very little, but, I mean, you had the heaters, they worked in them, But if you could keep the tabs airtight, you know, or keep them sealed up enough to keep the wind coming in around the doors and the pedals and stuff to where you could keep it in there. I used to run back and forth to Jersey 3-4 nights a week from Youngstown, Cleveland area, out to Jersey and back with a damn blanket, you know, or a big quilt or something laying over your lap down, tucked in and out around your legs to keep the air out the doors. Oh. And these guys want to bitch because they're driving around these big Peterbilts and shit now with, you know, 550 engines, the horsepower engines. Yeah, give me a break. You guys don't know what it's about. Everybody should have to drive a truck like that for about 6 months. That would make them appreciate what they really got.
Oh, yeah. You know, they complain because the automatic transmission's on the Fritz or something. But, you know, it wasn't too long. Like, I mean, it wasn't until like the 80s when they started actually going to electronic fuel injection.
Yes.
Like, I mean, it wasn't that long ago that all the diesels were still running off of carburetors, and you had to wind that sucker up to get it to go.
Yeah, it was the late 80s, early 90s, late 80s, early 90s, I think. Late 80s, early 90s, before they went into the electronics. Before that, it was all manual injector pumps and everything on them.
They
it's crazy. Cars, same way. Yeah, cars, I don't know when the fuel injection come around on the cars. I mean, they come out with throttle body first, that TBI, and I'm thinking about mid, late 80s when they come out with the throttle body injection, maybe a little sooner. I can't remember. It's been a long time.
I thought it was more like a 10-year gap between the gasoline engines had electronic fuel injected, because I remember, you know, it wasn't every car. I mean, like the Mercedes and BMWs, they're the ones that first came out. You know, EFI was a big thing, you know, and all that. And that was if you went and bought a small car or a muscle car or any kind of big engine like a Chevy 350 or a Ford 351, they still had carburetors. And then when the Germans, you know, the Mercedes and BMWs, they started coming out with them, and then everybody started coming out with them. And that was, like you say, in the early 80s, I think, is when that happened. I remember seeing like an 87 Chevy pickup that had bolted on the little sticker on the side that told you what kind of truck it was or what kind of engine it had. It had EFI written on it, and that was like a big deal. It was a big deal, you know. And it was still it was still standard transmission. Like you know, there was years ago you couldn't. I mean, buying a pickup truck with an automatic was just, you didn't do that. You everybody bought a pickup truck with a standard, because why would you want a pickup that didn't, where you couldn't change the gears?
Everything's reversed. I remember it used to be, you know, when you got a car, if you wanted an automatic, it was an option. You had to pay extra for an automatic transmission. Now it's the other way around. If you want a manual transmission, now it's an option. You have to order it with that.
Man.
Look at the trucks right now. Look at all the semi-trucks now.
Oh yeah,
they're all coming out down there with automatic transmissions in it. Try to get one with a manual transmission. They laugh at you.
Well, and that's the thing, is a lot of the companies with company drivers, you know, they're going to that because that's a gimmick where, you know, hey, come work for us. You don't have to change gears, which is all well and good, because that's great. But then it's another thing where they can hire less experienced drivers because they don't have to learn how to shift gears.
Exactly. Yeah.
But I saw it on the deal today. You remember what happened when that FedEx truck jumped all those other cars and it caused a big pileup and all that? A guy had a picture of that.
Yep.
And then above it, he had a picture of a CB. And he says, This will prevent this. Yeah. And that's another thing that has changed over the years. And I think it's just made the trucking industry worse. Is, I don't care. You know, me and Greg both. You know, we get on here and we gab a lot, but I don't talk on the CB that much. I know you don't get on the CB that much. We got it on, though. It's on.
Yep.
And guess what? We got it turned up enough where if we hear somebody say, hey, watch out, and we can hear it. We know what's going on, you know. And I think that so many other drivers just aren't taught that anymore. They're not taught to, you know, hey, you know. I remember as a company, drivers would have CBs, and it was like the company actually bought CBs. They weren't the bad. They were the little cheap little Cobras, but at least they were there. You know, nowadays, you're lucky if the truck has a capacity to hold one, because now the trucks, they don't even make them anymore that where they will hold a CB, you know.
Remember like back in the mid-90s, mid-later 90s, I went to work for a company while I was driving. I got rid of one truck, and I went to work for a company. I said, I drive a company truck. I took all my stuff when I went to work. I walked in there and went to put all my stuff in the truck, and the boss was standing there.
Yeah.
At the company. And I'm laying everything in. I grabbed my CB radio out and picked up. I went, threw it up, laid it up. CD said, whoa, what's that? What are you taking that for? I said, well, that's CB. I said, put it in there. Oh, no. No, that's a no-no. I said, what do you mean? He said, oh, no. He said, we don't allow CBs in the trucks. I said, what? He said, we don't allow CBs in our trucks. He said, no. He said, it's a distraction. He said, our driver, he said, no. He said, we do not allow CBs radios in our trucks.
My goodness.
Said, really? He said, yeah. I reached up, grabbed all my stuff, started putting it back in the pickup. He said, what are you doing? I said, I'm going home. He said, why? I said, because I'm not working for you. That's why.
Yeah.
He said, well, that's our company policy. I said, that's exactly why I'm going home.
Yeah.
Now, tell me that ain't stupid.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean.
There was a company up here local, too, that didn't have AM FM radios in the truck. They didn't have no CBs and no FM radios in the truck. No AM, FM radio, no nothing in that truck. You didn't have phones, and so you had no music. You had nothing to listen to. All you listened to was that truck.
Well, I met a couple of Teamsters that worked for Yellow Freight, and a lot of those Yellow Freight trucks, Roadway and Yellow, those guys, their trucks didn't have radios, CB or AM, FM, because they were cheaper that way.
They had all that stuff built in boxed.
You saw a driver have a little box, and you plug it into the cigarette lighter, and it powered an AM FM and it powered a CB, all sit in the box with the speakers and everything.
Had a couple little speakers mounted on the side of it. The AM FM radio was in the front of it. The CB in front of it. Yeah.
They probably should go back to that.
All of them, because they did so much. They did so much slip seating.
Yeah. The slip seating, and then some of the radios.
Their antenna was welded to a pair of ice grips. They just said the coax. They just reached out, snapped it on the mirror bracket. Away they went.
You know, we probably should go back to that. People know me. I'm a slip seater. I drive a day cab, and every now and then I'll get into a day cab where the radio don't work, or something's wrong. I don't know how drivers tear this crap up, but the stuff don't work. And I was like, how do you do this? What do you do? You know, why does this stuff not work? I don't know. They push the buttons too hard, or
it's real simple. It's not theirs. They don't care because it's not theirs. What the hell do I care if it breaks? Piss on it. It ain't mine. Let the company worry about it.
Yeah, you're right about
that's
that.
That's just exactly why I got into it with the company I'm on with now. When they wanted me, I told them I bought my new trailer and everything. That was all good at first. Now they want me to buy. They want me to sell me their trailers. Want me to sell them my trailer. They want me to go back pulling company trailers all the time.
Right.
No,
right.
I won't. Because I get tired of hooking up to a trailer. It's got trailer lights out. It's got mud flaps ripped off of it. It's got a flat tire. It's got a wheel seal leaking, or it's got something. There's always something wrong. I'm not doing that. I pull my own damn trailer. That way, if there's anything wrong with it, or if I get caught out here on the road, get put out of service, I ain't got nobody to blame but myself. Why am I going to go and pull their shit around and get caught with it and have something wrong? Now, I've got marks on my record because they can't fix their equipment.
Yeah.
Won't do it. I drag my own around.
Well, anybody that's out there knows, if you're working for any of those power-only owner-operator companies like Landstar or whatever, and you got to pull a company trailer, their first advice is find you a good trailer and keep it. Don't let go of it. Well, I know that, but saying that's the advice that you get from a lot of those guys is that, you know, if you don't have your own trailer, then get one and don't let go of it and make it your own, you know. But you see that a lot. Everybody wants their own trailer because they don't want to pull the crap. And that's, you know, companies out there, you know, you're talking about trying to get good drivers. Well, that's another good way to lose drivers is not take care of your equipment that you're in charge of. You know, you got an owner operator out there. You tell them, hey, if you don't go in and get an inspection every 90 days or you get that fixed or you keep, stay in line and keep these rules, you're not going to work for us anymore. We'll do the same thing. Take care of your equipment, too, and you might be able to keep a driver.
Right.
Just like
well,
the city.
Even at that. See the guy on there today. He had a, well, that Greg McLean out of Fort Wayne. He's a broker, basically, I think. Anyhow, just like he said, anybody, any of these companies don't want to talk about these sign-on bonuses. A sign-on bonus, all sign-on bonus is a Band-Aid. All it is an easy fix to get drivers. It gets
right.
them in there, but after that sign-on bonus is gone, how long does it take you to get all that sign-on bonus? Once the sign-on bonus is gone, then they don't want to work for them no more. So then they move on. They go in there to get that big sign-on bonus. Once they got it, they find out that the money ain't what they said it was, but they stick it out long enough to get all that sign-on bonus, and then they leave. Well,
yep.
You can't blame them. You can't blame them. I mean, why would you? Why would you come in there? You know, they promised you all that money. Take that money. Because as soon as that money's gone, you're not going to make any more good money. You know, and it's like any job. I mean, I've had numerous jobs driving company trucks. They'll tell you anything they want you to hear to get you over there. Once you get over there, they'll feed you for the first couple months. Oh, yeah, you'll make money for the first couple months. And then mm-hmm. you get new drivers constantly coming in there. You constantly got new drivers coming in. Well, when them new drivers come in, they got to do the same thing to them. They feed them. They beat them. They give them all the money, and your money starts dropping. And then they wonder why when you get ready to quit, well, why are you leaving? Well, I ain't making no money.
Yeah.
Well, I don't understand why.
Crazy stuff, I
you know,
tell you.
Now look at this fuel situation now. You know, I seen somebody today said something about, well, the fuel surcharge is up to 30% now. 30%. So they got a 30% fuel surcharge, national average, 30% now. Seriously? You got fuel that's over, you know, way over $5 a gallon, you know, heading for $6 or $6.50 a gallon, and you got a 30% fuel surcharge on there? The fuel surcharge right now should be about 40 or 45 cents, or 40 or 45%.
Yeah.
You know, bullshit. That's just why I'm sitting at home. That's why I took all month off. I refused to go out there and work for the same damn money that I was working for a month ago, and then this fuel went up. But the rates ain't changed on none of this shit that much. I mean, it might have went up some, but it ain't went up enough to justify this.
Right.
When my fuel goes from 13, you know, 13, anywhere from $1,200 to $1,400 a week, on the average is what I was paying here a month or so ago, a couple months ago. And now when I come back in from Texas, that last run down there to Laredo and up Del Rio and back up to Kansas City and home, my fuel doubled. That last 3 weeks that I was out, my fuel doubled. It went from like $1,400, I was damn near $3,000 in fuel, you know, a week. And I said, no, this ain't going to get it. This ain't going to get it. I ain't doing it. Yeah, like I said, you know, I make pretty good. You know, I do pretty good where I'm at, but I ain't making that good. Why am I going to turn around and give half, cut my wages in half, because asshole down there in D.C. wants to play his silly-ass games? I ain't doing it.
Just like, you know, I mean, we're talking about losing drivers because people don't take care of equipment. Well, you know, I feel like hanging it up sometimes just because I drive on these roads. The government can't even keep up with taking care of these roads, you know. And that's another thing. You work for us, and just like you too, you get out there and they want to inspect your truck and tell you, hey, that truck got to be make sure it's up to par. You better make sure the brakes work and the tires are good and all that. And then you go out there and drive down the road. And next thing you know, you blow a tire or blow a spring because you hit a pothole or something. It's crazy.
You know, I ain't picking at it, but these companies that they got, they got these, you know, these construction companies, contractors that go out there, and the state does none of their own road work anymore. They farm it all out to these different contractors. They put in bids, and they do the work, and then when they get the job done, they pay them for it. Okay.
Right.
Now, over in Pennsylvania, down there on 322, it's been years ago, when they four-laned that all down to Clark's Ferry, down through there, down 322, and down over the mountain and everything, down along the river. Then that company that they had down there, honest to God, literally, we watched them. That was back in the late 90s. They literally moved a mountain in one summer. They moved, cut that mountain back down there and moved that mountain back because they couldn't go any farther than one way because of the river. They cut back into the mountain, tapered the mountain, moved a mountain, and built a four-lane highway down through there in one summer. And these assholes down here in Columbus, Ohio, and Cincinnati down there is a good example for it, right there just north of Cincinnati on 71. They've been jacking around and dicking around with that road for the last 4 or 5 years, and they still ain't got it done.
Man.
Give me a break.
Yeah.
You know, if it rains, they can't work. If it's, you know, bullshit. And why? Why do they wait until December, November, late November, December, and then they decide to tear up a highway, and then they throw orange cones out knowing the snow's coming in? I mean, really?
Well, that's the thing. Does it on purpose because he knows he's getting paid, regardless of whether he works or not. That's the other thing, the other corruption of the government. The government's like, well, you need to start that construction. Okay, we're going to start it in December. Okay. But if the government actually says, you know what, don't start it until the snow stops, then they would save money. But they don't do that because they don't care. It's not their money.
This paving company right over here in Pennsylvania that worked over in Pennsylvania. I'll call their ass out, Lindy. Lindy Paving.
Yeah.
Okay, they come in, they work and do a lot of work, a lot of paving work for Pennsylvania. Right over here across the state line on 80, over there between Barkeyville, between Grove City and Barkeyville over there. I worked for them one summer. Well, I worked for McClyman's, you know, and I drove triax on hauled blacktop that summer for them. Now, we had to be out there. We had to be at the plant like 4 o'clock every morning. And we'd start to work, and they'd work. Maybe we'd work all day, and if it puckered up and rained a little bit, they'd sign our tickets and send us home, whatever. All right, but them guys out there, they bid on the job, these contracts. These paving companies, they bid the job. So many miles of road, and they had to tear it completely down to dirt, put a base in, you know, the sub base in, put the binder in, and put the top in, and they had so much time to get that job done. Now, that was, you know, going east and west or whatever. Whatever they did, they bid so long, they told them, we can have it done. You have to have it done by a certain time. They would jerk around and jack around with that job all summer long. Soon as it would come up to where they knew that they was running short on time, they'd start busting ass and they'd get it done. Well, if they'd get it done like maybe a month ahead of schedule. Oh, we got it all done. We're a month ahead of schedule. Then the dumbasses in Pennsylvania would go and give them son of a bitches a million some dollars bonus, you know, how many million dollar bonus or whatever, for finishing it ahead of time. Oh, wait a minute. You bid the damn job. They gave you allotted time to do it. As long as you got it done in that given time, this is what we're paying you. We're not paying you because you got it done a little early. If you got it done early, well, kudos to you. That just means you can go and start another job or whatever. We're going to pay you what your bid was, and that's all you're getting. But no, they give them a bonus. You know what we got out of it? The guys that was out there, the worker, you know, the drivers, you know what we got? A fucking pizza. When it was all done, the damn paving company would go and get pizza for everybody. We'd go down there and stand on the side of the damn road by the dump trucks and eat a piece of pizza. Thank you very much, you guys. We'll see you next summer. Screw you.
Right. Man.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been around the block a little bit. I'm not that old, but man, boy, I am. Man, I've been around. I've seen a lot of shit in 38 years out here, and I don't want to do it again.
Man, I'll tell you what, I know that's for a fact because we love it. We love it when you tell us these stories and you tell us what's going on because you're into it. You tell it like it is, like we were just talking about before. But that's old school trucking at its finest right there, folks. So, yeah, we're gonna step back, call. We got other callers calling in, so we're gonna go to them right here right quick. We're going to talk about other stuff going on, and, of course, we're still getting ready for the show. Redneck and Eyes Radio right here. Be sure to check out one of our great sponsors, and that's DPF Regeneration, dpfregeneration.com. And that's a great supporter of Redneck and Eyes. We appreciate all of their help and feedback and everything we've been getting for over the it's been several years now that DPF Regeneration has been with us. So go check them out, dpfregeneration.com, or you can give them a holler at, 800? What's the number? I can't remember. 634-3010, 800-634-3010. Check those out, dpfregeneration.com. And this is RedneckandEyes.com, Redneck and Eyes Radio. We'll be back in a second.
Let me thank Trucker Tools for helping us out and supporting our messages. Trucker Tools is an all-in-one app for truckers and their business. The Trucker Tools app was built from feedback from real drivers and is always being updated to better assist drivers in saving time, running more efficiently, and making more money. Check out their website at truckertools.com. That's Trucker Tools, the app for truckers.
Redneckandeyes.com. Don't forget to go subscribe to our YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that. It's been growing great. We appreciate everything going on. And we're bringing back Greg, and I think we got Robbie on here. Is that Robbie? Is that you?
That is me.
I was going to bring Greg on here because, hey, Greg, how about this badass country music we're listening to right here? Where's all those rock and roll guys at? Good country.
Yep, there's a bunch of redneck truck drivers listening to country music, you know. Don't play nothing else, you know. Yeah, cowboy hat-wearing truck drivers.
I tell you what, man, this is like, people say that's country, but, man, that right there, that is some good, smooth, bluesy rock and roll to me. I don't know.
Yeah, it's more of the first start of rock and roll, I would say.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you remember back in the day, Johnny Cash was rock and roll, you know, and then of course everybody followed him with what's it called, Merle Haggard and what's the other guy?
Willie Nelson.
Willie
Nelson.
Yeah, I can't think of all their names now. I forgot them all. Waylon Jennings also was considered rock and roll.
Yep.
But he was just country. He was just flat out country. So yeah.
Well, look at the song. You know that one. No one wants to go down to Tucson in the summer, standing on the corner in Winslow, Arizona. Now tell me Arizona ain't screwed up. Ain't nobody wants to go down to that shit old state. Nobody want to go down there, no matter what time of year it is.
Come on. Why do you like that?
Oh, man. Look at that.
Oh, geez.
With friends like that, who needs enemies? I tell you what.
That's right.
My hero.
Why you have to be so angry tonight?
That's right. Why you got to be so angry, Robbie?
You know, that's why I chimed in. You know, I think you've been watching a little too much of Breadstick Ricky and the Boss there. And because one of his last videos was about the safety guy was going to give him a pizza party. And they're like, "No, no, we want more money. You can have
that's right.
cardboard pizza." You know,
that's right. That's
so,
exactly
these,
right.
You know, like some of these companies that do the sign-on bonus. Yeah, you can get that sign-on bonus, but you got to be there a year because they split it up into a year. You get a little chunk here, a little chunk there, a little chunk there. That's how they keep you there. You know, instead
right.
of just giving you all in one lump sum.
Right. Take care of your drivers. Your drivers will take care of you.
Well, let me come on. Hey, cool deal. So, Greg, I got a surprise for you.
Oh boy.
We were just talking about listening to some badass country music. In fact, wait a minute. Let me do it. Hang on. I got it right here. So we got a special guest joining us right now. And bring him on right
Dave
here.
Gore.
Yep. So, hey, Dave, what's going
hey.
On, bud?
How y'all doing? It's good to be here with everybody.
Man, I tell you what,
that's a good song. You put out a good song there. I like that one.
Yeah. Yeah, I appreciate that. We've been working in the studio on some new ones.
Yeah, that's what you've been telling me, man. That's exciting because we do also. You sent me a link to the new one, but I haven't been able to get it uploaded where I can play it on here. I did have it where I could move my soundboard around, but yeah, man. Every chance we get, we try to pull up, you know, some of Dave Gore's hits and play them along because you know, people don't just realize how many of the good country music singers out there related to the trucking industry, you know, I think we just need to do more of that. And that's what I love doing. That's why we like you so much, Dave.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing everybody over at Matt. And it's been too dang long. And it seemed like everybody's just been so busy here the last couple of years with everything going on. It's going to be good to just kind of unwind, kind of
yep.
catch up. And, I've been working in the studio as I can here, too. Got some new stuff on the way. And I got some brand new stuff this past week. So I hope to do some acoustics out there at the show at Matt's with them. So lots of cool stuff. And it's just when people ask me what kind of music I do, it's just real. It's just from the heart. And it's a little touch of all the different genres out there, not just country, but southern rock and blues and everything else. So I love all kinds of music, and I just try to do it real, you know.
Yeah. So, so people don't know. I mean, you're not only a musician to where you know you got your guitar and you play songs, you write songs, and you're making them. But I mean, every time we come out there to Louisville, I mean, you're like the number one sound guy. You're the one that has all the equipment. All the other guys, they don't have any of that stuff.
Yeah, you know, I try to do whatever I can, not only just to do the music and everything, but, you know, to help everybody else out, too. We'll be there with Taxation Solutions this year again, doing some emceeing for them with their booth and showcasing some other artists. We're going to build it in where we've got several friends of mine coming out. Taylor Barker's going to be there with us, and then, of course, we've got some friends of mine out of Nashville and some out of northern and southern Arkansas coming. And we've got some slots open for some just guests to show up too. So you just never know what you might hear right there at the North Wing lobby. Y'all swing on by. Of course, we're going to stop by and see y'all over there in the West Wing too. So we've got some of our entertainment going to come by your booth. We're going to have a good time.
Yeah, man, I tell you what, I'm excited about it. So, yeah, I was just pulling it up here, trying to make sure I was going to get the right information out to everybody. And so that I'm just confirming with you now, I guess, is that the Taxation Solutions is pretty much where they've always been, right there in that North
Wing
lobby, right there in the corner.
Right there.
Yeah, as soon as you come in that north wing lobby, right in that corner there, you'll be able to catch us. Got a stage set up, and like I said, we're going to be showcasing several different folks out there and a variety of different sounds.
Right, cool.
Got some female artists with us too, so it's going to be a good time.
Exciting. Yeah, that's a North Wing Lobby. Looks like, from what I remember, it's booth 40452. It's a big stretch there,
mm-hmm.
and Dave's pretty much got that whole corner just occupied. It's so funny because it's such a wide area where people kind of hang out, and it's right there near the front door where people go in and out, so people got to take smoke breaks and all that, and then they end up just hanging out, listening to music, you know, when they either walking through or coming in or whatever. It's a high traffic area. It's amazing that, you know, I remember the first time that y'all were doing that, and I moved in, you know, kind of walking by, and it's like you're saying, you're walking out of one door into another lobby there, going, you're just trying to get from one side of the show to the other. And sometimes you're on a mission and you want to walk pretty fast, but there's a big crowd there all the time because there's always so much going on right there with Dave Gore and all of his friends playing music and doing something. It's amazing.
Exactly. You know, another thing about it, it's all about helping each other out. So, you know, all our friends out there will be giving you a good shout out, and I hope y'all stop by too. Like I said, we're going to try to make it over there, spend a little bit of time over in the West Wing as we can. And I know we're going to have some our entertainment, you know, venture over your way and, you know, showcase some of their talents over there. And that's what it's all about, though, is helping each other shine, you know.
That's awesome. Yeah, because that's, you know, tell the artist, like I always tell people, it's impossible for a single person to get through the whole show in one day. So especially on a Saturday when it's so busy like that, by hanging out at just one booth, you're kind of limiting yourself. So if you get a couple of them that want to, you know, kind of get their name out a little more, you know, send them on over our way. And it's like you play at one side of the show, then you go play at the other side of the show.
No, that's it. You know, these shows are really cool. I've told everybody, if it gives you a chance, you know, we talk on the phone, we see each other here and there, but, you know, to all come together at one of the events and see each other face-to-face all together is just a cool thing. And,
yep.
You know, from a musician standpoint, too, it's really nice to be able to, you know, meet the folks out there that enjoy the music. And who knows what might come out of it, too, because, you know, songs just kind of happen, at least with me. I've never really been able to sit down and just write a song just when I want to write one. It writes when it wants to. So you never know what might develop or what somebody might say that could spark a new song. So, you know, all those 13 songs on that last album, they're all originals. And then this CD I've got coming out is going to have some of those, going to have some from the first limited edition album that some people have never heard on it, and as well as some new tracks. So I'm going to have 21 total original songs coming out, and we're kind of scrambling to get the CD all pressed and everything. It may come down to me just burning a limited number just for mass so that the folks can have copies of the brand new music. You know, I'll sign them up and, you know, bundle them up with the old Dark as a Coffee CD too. So,
how hard is it to get out there where you're on, like, I mean, like Spotify or YouTube Music or anything like that? I mean, is it something that you've got to do, or is it just something that the fans need to just request on, or what, you know, how does that all work, do you think?
Yeah, so they've got distribution services out there. And actually right now I pulled all my music back because I'm going to be doing a brand new release with newly mastered tracks. So hopefully in the next week or two I'll have my new tracks and everything back up on all of those outlets like Spotify and, you know, the YouTube channels, this and that. I've got my YouTube channel now. And
right.
I'm working on a video for Dark as the Coffee too, so be watching for that coming up pretty soon. And but yeah, we'll have the newly mastered tracks out. I went back in the studio, kind of redid some of the mixes re-EQ'd, so they sound even brighter and a little bit more different. And but yeah, I leverage those services, and you know, you have to pay to put them out there and everything. But you know, as long as people enjoy the music, I'm gonna keep on doing what I'm doing. It's more than just, you know, trying to be famous or make money. It's all about making memories. And
yeah,
it's all about just, you know, leaving some type of something behind us here on this planet, you know, and that's why I do the music that I do. And as long as I can make enough to keep in more of it, I'm going to keep on doing it. So that's what it's all about.
There you go. That's what it is. Yeah, yeah, we really appreciate it. You came out to our booth in the parking lot there years back, and it was awesome because we didn't have any, like, we were looking for somebody to help us out with providing entertainment. And we just reached out to DPF Regeneration. Of course, you know, they've been helping you out for years. And it was kind of like, you know, Dave Gore shows up and all these other artists show up. And Dave Gore, he's the one. He's got the sound. He's got the speakers. Everything's like, and we're like, wow, that's amazing, you know. And then since then, you know, it's like Redneck and I's and Dave Gore, we've been a big fan of yours. And we just can't thank you enough for all your support. So, and I'm sure Greg and Robbie, they agree with me.
Oh, yeah. Man, absolutely on all that now. See, that the only thing I'm bummed out about is we're not going to be able to do some of what we did in the past there, because I was ready to get out there and crank it up, you know, in the evening time and do what we did, because that's what it's all about. Everybody getting together and having a good time, you know, during the show, after the show, in between and all that. And like I say, I just loaded up and go wherever. We've done this past year, since the world kind of opened back up to the general public, we've done some shows in mm-hmm. Illinois a couple of times, and over in Texas, Tennessee, and, you know, points in between. But it's been nice to get out there. I'll chunk it in the vehicle and head on down the road, so I'll have it loaded up. But
that's awesome.
That's what it's all about, man. Shoot.
Yeah. Yeah, don't get Greg fired up on not being able to do anything in the parking lot, because that's, you know, this might be our last show, because we're like you, we're looking at other events and do other things. Mm-hmm. We're even thinking about doing something on our own, you know, where we can
there
get our own music going and all that. So be prepared for that, you know, because that's
sure.
You know, we were just talking
you
about
just
it.
Hit me up.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you
hey.
Just hit me up, because I'm game. I'll go most any place there, as long as it's free on the calendar. I've been blessed to have a lot of bookings, and
yeah.
So I'm staying pretty busy these days. But y'all just give me a shout, and if I'm free, the wheels will
yeah.
turn, and I'll go wherever. So y'all just keep me posted, and it's always a good time with y'all.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, Greg, tell them what you said. I said, let's do our own thing, and we'll go find us some concert, you know, do a concert. You know, who are we going to get? You know, who are we going to get? And what did Greg say?
Dave Gore.
Oh, man.
The only thing I need to say is, Dave, I know you surround yourself with a lot of good musicians, and they're all like a big family to you. But what I do want to say is, you want to watch that one dude, that Taylor Barker, watch him, keep him close to you, because sometimes he can be no good.
Oh man!
Davey. Taylor's a good boy. Taylor's a good man. He's all right.
He sure is. He sure is.
Yeah, we spent some time with him out there in Lore City, out there at the convoy when they come through out there by Cambridge, Ohio. We here last weekend, week before. Yeah, we spent some time with him, and Taylor's always been a good boy to us. He's working. He's got his agenda, and he's working it. You know, just like all of you, it's a tough business.
Exactly. You know, and he's gonna be over at Red Eye Radio.
Yeah.
Even though we got our booth set up over there, we still give them a little shout out. And he's going to come by every morning at 11 o'clock, and he's going to be at the Taxation Solutions booth too. So y'all be sure to check him out, Red Eye Radio, and also Taxation Solutions there is the North Wing. And, yeah, it'd be good to catch up with him again. He is a good guy, and great artist and great musician and all too. So yeah, that's really what it's all about though. And then like I said earlier, you know, it's about getting other folks up there on the stage. I love to do what I do, but there's so many talented people out there, and just, you know, getting some variety. You know, music's all about variety, and I tell other artists all the time, I said, there's plenty of room for everybody in the music world. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, the music world can kind of be, to a degree, cliquish and this and that, but, you know, it's all about getting other folks out there and getting them heard. And I think that really only helps, you know, each other when we do that. And it's a shame that things nowadays with, you know, what the industry's doing, they only allow, you know, certain individuals to get out there, and they make pretty much cookie cutter music. And I'm blessed to be able to go in the studio and just do something real, leverage real musicians, to pay them to come in and put their touches on there, and there's not any computer-generated stuff. It's just all just how it is, how they used to make it. And it might cost a little bit more to do it that way, but I'd rather just leave something there that you know, people can say, "Oh, I don't hear that on the radio," you know. And so, yeah, that's really that's what it's all about, man.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, you break it down. So you're exactly right. You know, we turn the radio on and thinking, you know, that this guy wrote this song or this artist, you know, but really it's they walk into a studio and say, "I just want to sing." And then the studio has these songs that they've like mass produced, like it all, like you see videos where people like the songs are all the same. They're all the same tune. You know, the lyrics might be a little different, but they're basically all the same. Yeah.
They are, you know. It's funny, me and my daughter, we went out to California a couple of times in a row, and she drove out there on the way back home. We were listening to the different songs on the radio, and I said, "Listen to this one, and, you know, listen to that one." And we all had within the same tempo of about 10 or 15 beats a minute.
Yep.
We went through each one of the songs for hours, you know, and they all had the same type of rhythm, the same chord progressions and all that. And I'm like, yeah, that's what they do, you know, is they build on what the human mind responds to, and they just take advantage of that, and then they put some basic lyrics in there, and it's not stuff that people have really truly lived. And I'm just thankful to say most all the songs that I put out there is just stories from my life, or it's a story from somebody close to me.
Yeah.
And everything has some reason and some reality there, you know, behind it. So, and it's kind of like half a bottle of Beam. That's based on experience from my past right there too. And pretty deep if you really get into it. A lot of times people ask, they say, "Well, what's this one about?" And like, if you really want to know, I'll tell you, you know. And but I think the neat thing about it is it's identifiable. And you know, a lot of people, it really hits home with. So try to touch subject things that are relatable to other people out there, and you know, just going from place to place and just living life. It's like after a while, songs just kind of happen here and there.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
That's awesome. Well, Dave, I don't want to keep you too long. I know you're a busy guy and you got a lot of things to do. Probably got to get rested up and everything. But I mean, I appreciate you calling in, and everybody out here listening along, they're like, "Oh wow, it's Dave! All right, you know." So we're really excited, and like I said, we're looking forward to all your artists that you've got coming out because I'm excited to see new artists all the time. I live down here in South Texas. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it's like during the summertime, it's live music. Like every bar, every night has live music going on. It's just people trying to make names for themselves that either they're from California, they're from Florida, or they're from Texas or whatever. They're just trying to get their name out there. And it's the best kind of music is live music, is having somebody actually, like you saying, sing their songs that they live.
Yeah, that's it. You know, it's like myself. I'm just a simple rhythm guitar player. But when I go in the studio and I can I can connect with other musicians and all, and just bring the songs to life like I hear them in my head. That's pretty magical right there. So,
yeah,
you know, I'm going to be sharing some new material, just raw and real acoustic. And just know that when you hear them, it'll be coming out here before too long, and you'll get to hear it like I hear it inside my head. You know, I love just raw, real acoustic stuff too. A lot of times people can't really, you know, wrap their head around the full feel of it. And that's why I bring a lot of tracks out when I do some of my solo shows. I'll couple that with just the acoustic, and then sometimes I'll just do the bare acoustic sound, but it's kind of neat to hear it from just the bare bones all the way up to fully produced.
Right.
And,
cool.
Yeah, so everybody out there, I sure appreciate y'all's support, and most importantly, your friendship.
Yeah.
I look forward to seeing you at Matt's, if you can make it. I know a lot of folks out there aren't going to be able to make Matt's. So I hope we'll catch up somewhere down the road. But if you're going to be in the Louisville area, stop on by. I'd love to chat with you a few minutes. And I've met some really cool people over the years. I appreciate y'all's friendship more than you know.
I can't thank you enough for all your support, too. And like you said, man, when I first met you, I was like, man, this guy's pretty damn cool. We're going to be friends a long time. So what now you got a Facebook page too, so people, like you saying, if they can't make it to Matt's, they sure can find you though. You got, you know, where they can find you on the internet and keep track of what's going on.
I do. Now I'll send my Facebook and all my social media. Ever since I came out with a song, I don't know if I sent you Americans or not.
Yes.
But I came out pretty patriotic now. So there's a song I released here a while back called Americans when all that went down with the whole, you know, national anthem thing.
Yep,
and
yep.
I'm like this when it comes to that. We're all one nation, you know, one nation under God, and we can all stand up for just a few moments together and acknowledge that there's folks out there that put their life on the line for our freedoms. And so I put together a song called Americans, and I released it. And social media, a lot of them have throttled my reach the last couple of years as a result.
Right.
But I'm still out there, and I still like to connect with folks. So you can find me at Dave Gore Music. It's just at Dave Gore Music for any of the social media out there. If I'm on it, that's how you can find me. So.
Yeah, I just looked it up, and Dave Gore, the YouTube channel, it's on there too. So go subscribe to that one as well. And we might have that attached to our YouTube channel as well, as far as one of our favorite channels. So yeah, we definitely keep you shared on there as much as we can, and everything goes, because I tell you what, you're right, pretty patriotic. I remember when I first heard this song. Is it going to play? It's not going to play. There it goes. When this song first came out and you played it at our, I mean, when I first heard it, it was at our tent in Louisville, and I was like, oh, this is awesome, because I mean, it rung true so hard, and it still does today. That's the amazing thing about it, you know. And that's Southern Red, White,
that.
And Blue. Yeah. Yeah. But man, I tell you what, I appreciate you calling in and everything. And don't be a stranger. Now we're going to be here. You know, we're out here on Sundays. We're here shooting the breeze and firing Greg up and trying to get him to take his heart medication, because he'll get fired up every now and then. So. But we need somebody who's going to call in and calm you down.
There you go. Hey, I want to give a little shout out to Bill Weaver. I hadn't talked to him in a while, but
man,
his song, No America Left.
Okay.
His song, No America Left, right there, man. Y'all got to check that song out. That's an amazing song, and I love it. And like I said, we all got to stand up all together for our nation. It's been so good to be here with y'all for a few minutes, and I'll be looking forward to seeing you here in about a week and a half or so now.
Yeah, it's getting on down the line. Counting the time now.
Getting
ticking.
Close.
Yep. Good deal. Well, all right, Dave, you be safe out there. You have a safe trip coming up, man. Watch out for all those Yankees you got to go through to get up here, to get up to move.
It's all good. I've made a lot of good friends with the folks up north there, too. So I'll see y'all here soon. And we'll be safe out there, and same to y'all too. And we'll see you soon, okay?
Good deal. See you soon, bud.
All right,
appreciate
Dave.
You.
Take care, Dave.
Hey, thank y'all. Y'all too.
Yeah. We'll see you at the show.
All right. Bye.
There we go. Awesome. Yeah, there's go. There's our good friend Dave Gore. Great singer, great songwriter. Every time I hang out with him, it's a blast. You know, it's so funny because he doesn't talk very much, but when he talks, he definitely has something to say. So that's what's awesome part about it. When he sings, it's even better. So what do you think, Greg? Is that a good surprise for you?
Oh yeah, yeah, that was awesome, man. Oh,
that kind of got Greg's blood pressure in check there. Kind of
yeah,
calmed
there
him down a little bit.
Yeah,
getting,
yeah. Why are you
he's
guys
getting
be
a little
so fired mean?
Up? No, what's why do you have to be so angry?
Man, you guys are hard on me. You guys are hard on me tonight.
That's awesome. Yeah. But yeah, one of the cool things is he said, Dave said he's got some special people that he's going to send our way. He is actually, I mean, like he got hired by Trucker Tax Tools to pretty much be in charge of the whole thing. So he's definitely going to be a busy guy trying to make his way around to all the different sponsors that helped him out. Red Eye Radio, of course, is another one of them that gives him a lot of attention. And they're just, you know, it's a national syndicated radio show. So yeah, why wouldn't you, you know? And,
right.
And of course, it's all about trucking. So, you know, what I like it is when Taylor Barker and Dave Gore, they get up on that stage. I remember I was standing there in the crowd watching Taylor Barker. He was picking his guitar there at the Red Eye Radio booth. So this Red Eye Radio booth, big, huge poster with all the different singers out there and all that and all the sponsors. And they got this big, huge table signing autographs and everything. And all the people standing around there watching him sing. And then he says, hey, I'd like to give you a special shout out to Redneck and Eyes. Y'all go check them out, redneckandeyes.com. And I'm like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
And then the next year, the Louisville Truck Show says, well, we don't want you here.
Yeah. Ain't they special, huh?
Yeah, ain't they special. Looks like we got to wrap it up, but we got one more caller. I think...
want to say great show. Great show, Ed, Greg, and Robbie.
There you go. Appreciate you.
Great show. Yeah. I was just listening. I didn't have much to say. Greg had plenty to say, and so I thought I didn't need to add on. So
there you go.
Good show.
Good deal. Appreciate
it's
you.
It's not hard to get Greg going.
No, I know it.
You just need to say a couple words and he'll just it was kind of a different change of pace tonight to have Dave on. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, that was good.
And I don't know, Jeff, if you heard before, we were talking about the politicians, of course, and everything. And of course, Greg brought it up that Brian is Brassy. I keep forgetting his last name. Brian Brassy. One of the spokesmen of the People's Convoy, peoplesconvoy.org, he says it all the time. They write it down on flags. They write it down on the windows now. And his big thing is they work for us. And I think that's one of the things that we just need to get back to, is they work for us. I think a lot of politicians forgot that. I think a lot of people forgot that. A lot of people think, well, he's the politician. He's in charge. No, he ain't. You know, so I think we need to get back to that.
Well, I still think when the fuel prices get $10, $15 a gallon, 90% of the trucks shut down like Greg's doing. I'd be out there now. Greg's out there sitting at home. Hell, fuel's cheap now. It's going to be in a month from now.
No kidding.
Oh, I was kind of in the same boat as Greg was. He's at home because I was at home for a month too. I just came out, and just because I'm trying to get closer to the truck show where we have our deal, and people don't want to pay. You know, I'll just sit at home. No, I have no problem with that.
And
right now I'm still making money, but I don't know, once it gets $10-$15 a gallon, I'll be going home too. But I'd kind of like to get this truck paid for first.
Right. Well, that's a good goal.
That's my opinion right now. I got my trucks paid for. The only thing I got is my trailer and her pickup and keep the house bills paid. And I ain't, you know, they ain't neither one of them payments that bad that I'm going to go out there and work for, you know, work for next to nothing or spend half of what I was making in fuel every week. No, I'm not doing it.
Hmm. Yeah, well.
Like I said, when my fuel cost goes from 13 to $1,500 a week up to almost double within less than a month. No, we ain't doing that. Screw
right.
Joe Biden and all his cronies it ain't happening.
Right.
As long as I can take home $3,000 to $5,000 a week on top of what it cost me to do fuel, I'm gonna stay out here.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, well.
Good deal.
Anyway, well, good show. Enjoyed it.
Good deal. Yep.
All right.
Well, I think we're going to wind it up here. I think everybody's having a great time, and we're getting ready for the show. So I think that's it.
All right. Goodbye.
All right, y'all. All right. Talk to you later on.
There we go. All right, here we go. Ready to wind it down. So, yeah, great show tonight. A lot of good talking about the politicians, and they work for us. Don't remember that. You can check out thepeoplesconvoy.org. It's still going strong. They're over there at Hagerstown, Maryland, hanging out, and they're each day that they have. They didn't do it today, but tomorrow morning looks like they're going to start, and they just keep driving around the beltway there in the parking lot or out in the Capitol. So they're keeping them going strong over there at the Hagerstown Speedway, and you can go support them. Find out, get updates of what's going on at thepeoplesconvoy.org. And you can go check us out at redneckandeyes.com. We appreciate everything. All of our links to our sponsors and all of our social media accounts are all on that website, redneckandeyes.com. One of the great sponsors we'd like to give a shout out to, and that's Load to Ride Transportation. That you can check them out, ltrtransportation.com. And they're a great little outfit out of Denver, Colorado. They got all the expedited and extra stuff you might need. So, you can give them a shout-out. Great supporter of Redneck and Eyes, ltrtransportation.com, or you can give them a call, and that's 720-277-0030. We appreciate their support. And like I said, don't forget, we'll be at the truck show. We'll be in booth number 74108. We will not be in the parking lot doing anything major in the parking lot. We will be there in the parking lot, but we won't be doing anything like entertainment or food or anything. We got trucks. We're truck drivers. So we'll be there, you know, hanging out. Because where else we're going to hang out, right? And then we'll be at the show, and we'll be over there in the West Wing Pavilion. As far as I know that we'll be there at 10 a.m. Thursday morning before the show actually opens. It doesn't open until 1, but if you need tickets before you go pay money, go come see us first. And we're going to try to have some extra tickets and everything. It's booth 74108. That's over there by the food court in the West Wing Pavilion. And just good luck with that, okay? And don't be disappointed. The show is not going to be as extravagant as it's always been. I mean, it may look big, but the big names are not going to be there. So just be prepared. So like I said, come see us. We'll be there at the booth, and we'll be talking about the future of Redneck and Ice and how things are going on with that. So until then, just stay safe, stay successful. And keep between the ditches, and we'll see you out there on the road.
Justice was served on a rope. When evil was done, that was all that she wrote. But somewhere somebody decided that wasn't right. Now the bad guys run free in the street, while the good guys pay the price. They say people don't kill people with guns and true. I don't mean to offend you, but I'll always stand up for what's right. And I'll fly that southern red, white, and blue till the day that I die. These days, it's hard to find a line between right and wrong. With the past erased and rewritten, we don't understand where we came from. We'll be doomed to repeat those mistakes unless we tell that story right. 'Cause there's no way around the truth, no matter how hard you try. They say people don't kill people, but guns and rebel flags do. And you can't speak of Jesus, 'cause how dare we ever speak the truth. Justice was served on a roll.